I'm Eric Allen for KLCC. Mac McAnally has been named the Country Music Association's Musician of the Year for 8 consecutive years and has been inducted into both the Nashville Songwriters Hall of Fame and Mississippi Musicians Hall of Fame. Besides writing hits for many country stars and performing as part of Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reefer Band, he's released 16 albums of his own. The latest one is Southbound, which puts his songs in an orchestral context for the first time. He'll be in the Coral Reefer Band with Jimmy Buffett at Matthew Knight Arena in Eugene on Sunday, October 15th. Thanks for a few minutes of your time today, Mac.
Oh, thanks for having me. That sounded impressive altogether. I appreciate the intro.
Nice. Well, it is impressive. That's quite a track record you have, really. You've been building it for a while. But
I was born into a sort of a gospel music family, so I've been about the business of making music and about the hobby of making music, actually, is really the more the way I look at it for my entire life. So it cumulatively does seem like a lot, but I've done a lot of it at this point. So
the new album Southbound, which was just released, is a departure in a sense because it's the first orchestral one. What made you decide to revisit some of your best songs in an orchestral context?
Well, it's a standard saying of mine that proximity kicks the ass of destiny over and over again. But I did a charity event with a fellow named Robert St. John in Mississippi who founded this charity that's the beneficiary of this record. And he said he had always heard, he's a big fan of my music, and he said he had always wanted to hear it with orchestra, and had I ever thought about it, and you know, some of the songs I heard that way when they were written. I heard an imaginary orchestra around the songs, in the creative process. But I never really envisioned the luxury of getting to actually sit in the middle of a physical orchestra and really hear it outside my enormous head. And it worked out that we fashioned a concert in which we did a few charts to my songs and did a concert that benefited his charity, which is called Extra Table, which is healthy food for hungry kids in Mississippi. And Mississippi's either the 49th or the 50th as far as the poorest state. That's where I'm from, and it's my home, and it's his home as well. So we have a place in our heart for Mississippi, and obviously these songs have a place in my heart because they kind of are my heart over the last 40 years or so. And the fact that we got to put those two things together for the benefit of the place that we care about is really a blessing.
I would think that going back to revisit some of those songs in such a differing context would give you new perspective on some of those songs. Was that true?
Well, it really does, and because you know, as I say, there were three or four of them that were sort of conceived that way, and it gave me a chance to hear them in the way that I wrote them, and never had gotten to hear them to this point after all this time. And then for the rest of them, it was nice to go and put a fresh, not necessarily coat of paint, but to put a fresh vantage point on these things they're sort of like children, and some of them are grown up at this point, so. So being able to address with the full palette of an orchestra this music that's been a part of my life for so long, it was really a wonderful thing.
How did it shift your creative process to have a physical orchestra with you as you did the recording?
Well, as my mom said, it made me stand up straight and try to sing as well as my God-given limitations allow. I never really considered myself so much of a singer, but as a songwriter, I do know what the songs are about, and I believe what the songs are saying. So that's a nice head start toward a good vocal, but to stand, you know, in the middle of those guys and sing is just such a rush. I think it maybe brings the best out of anybody.
You've been writing songs for Jimmy Buffett and playing with the Coral Reefer Band for a long time now as well. I would imagine that has been a core experience that's taught you a great deal over the years. Is that the case?
Well, there's no question because. Well, Jimmy started out in Mississippi as well. He came from Pascagoula, and so he was somebody that I looked up to when I began in the business. And for some reason, which I'm very grateful, he kind of took me under his wing all the way back in the middle 70s when I started, and said, "Hey, we're both from Mississippi. We're both storytellers. We're going to make music together, and we're going to be friends." And at that time, I didn't I didn't know anybody in the business, and I looked up to him as a fan. And for to have someone like that kind of take me under his wing that young, I was such a bashful kid. It's been a great boon for everything that's followed for me. It has a lot to do with Jimmy, and you know, all of the ambition to be well known and be in the middle of the stage that Jimmy has. I get to draft off of that in the NASCAR sense of the word, because I was kind of really born without a great deal of any of the "Hey, look at me" aspect that somebody really needs to be in the center of the stage in show business. And he's stuck me there beside him all these years, and I'm really grateful for that. And he's been a great advocate of the work that I've done, and I've been able to help in the, you know, as being part of the band and getting to co-produce Jimmy's records over the last few years has been a great thing. I think for both of us, we've really enjoyed the collaboration.
How does the band continue to evolve here in 2017?
Well, for some reason or other, I think we are enjoying playing more than we ever have, and it's not ever like we didn't enjoy it. But I think, you know, Jimmy fell off the stage in Australia a few years ago and busted his head, and it made everybody reassess what a wonderful blessing it is to get to ride around with this guy and play music and be essentially part of a big rolling ball of goodwill, which we're happy to bring toward Eugene this coming week. It's going to be amazing. That'll be my first time to play Eugene with the Coral Reefers, and we're really looking forward to it.
You write songs for a lot of other people as well. Fitting songs to other voices is an art form in itself. Do you tend to write songs before you give them to an artist, or do you think about the artist in your writing process, or both?
Well, Eric, at this point, having done it for quite a few decades at this point, I've done it every way that I can think of doing it. You know, sometimes some one of my friends who I work on their records will say, "You know my voice, write something for my voice," and that's a joy to attempt to do as an assignment. But then in a lot of cases, it's a song that I wrote for myself that someone else appreciated and wouldn't have written themselves, and they sing it kind of as a compliment to the writer, or I take it as an honor that they like something that I wrote kind of just out of my own heart, and they see it and take it for their own. And that's probably more common for me than not. The fact that I've been able to put out these, as you say, it's like 16 records along the way at this point. Most of them, the cover recordings that I get are people who were a fan to some degree of something that I did, and they took a song and just went and recorded it. And that's kind of an organic way for it to happen, and it's really a blessing in this modern sort of hyper sales oriented time and during show business that we have. I'm terrible at that. I've never gone and knocked on anybody's door and said, "Hey, record one of my songs." I just don't have that in me. So I've been, you know, really looked after by a few great singers and other songwriters that have recommended my work to people. I've been very blessed that way.
Is there ever a letting go process for you as well when you hear what another performer has done with one of your songs?
It's almost always just a joy, because in most cases, I did a version myself when I recorded a version myself when hey, there's Jimmy Buffett calling me while we're talking on the phone. He's gonna have to wait. But it said Bubba on my phone, and I usually grab that one, but we're gonna call him back. But at any rate, I lost my train of thought, sorry about that. But I usually am curious to see what someone else does, because I've already done it the way that I heard it. So when someone else does it, that's an icing on a different cake.
You have been CMA Musician of the Year for a phenomenal 8 years in a row. What do you ascribe that dominance to, if anything?
Well, good fortune would be the greatest portion of it. I don't feel deserving of those things, and several times I have demanded a recount as they hand me the award. But all joking aside, I'm honored to be among the pool of musicians that exists here in Nashville that get to make records. It's such a wonderful group of players, and the guys that I'm nominated with along these years are heroes of mine, and they all deserve it at least as much as me. But I do take the honor that is implied in the fact that the people who vote are the people who do the same job. And so someone sees some merit in how I go about my business, and that means a lot to me.
It's been a really difficult couple of weeks in the country music world and beyond, and I'm wondering how you've been affected by the events in Las Vegas and the band around you.
Well, your heart goes out. I mean, I had many friends who were there in Las Vegas, and you know, we, during the course of this last week, have been catching up with them one by one and hearing their particular experiences. And, you know, we stand on stages all the time, and I'm in the crowd at concerts all the time because I have people that I go to see to play. And just, you know, that's just a horrible thing for anyone to have to endure, and for the country to endure. It changes how you feel about walking around out in public. And, you know, music is one of the only things in the world that can turn bad into good. And even though I'm horrified that this happened, and I've got friends that went through it that my heart goes out for, I do know that some music will come from this that will make the lives that remain better. And I'm really happy to be attached to something like music that can do that, that can take a bad thing and eventually make something good out of it, as bad as this is.
Are there particular directions you want to take your music from here after all you've done and played and written?
I'm lucky enough at this point in time that I look forward to some kid blowing me away tomorrow, whether it's in person or on YouTube, and inspiring me to go try to find something else within myself that I thought wasn't there or that had already been done. I constantly get inspired by nature and by music and by all that is life, and I'm happy that I don't feel finished yet because tomorrow morning I get to go up and do it again, and I'm a lucky guy.
Well, thank you so much for all the inspiration you've brought to the rest of us, too, and for taking a few minutes with me today.
It's my pleasure, Eric. Thank you for the little spotlight on what we're trying to do, and I hope everyone comes out and sees us out there with Buffett. It'll make you smile. It's pretty much a guaranteed smiling night.
Mac McAnally, Country Music Association's reigning Musician of the Year for the past 8 years straight. His 16th solo album, Southbound, The Orchestra Project, was just released a few weeks ago. Mac McAnally will perform in Jimmy Buffett's Coral Reefer Band at the Matthew Knight Arena in Eugene on Sunday, October 15th. For more on the show, MatthewKnightArena.com. Also see MacMcAnally.com. For KLCC, I'm Eric Allen.